I'm ready to go if you are.
When this life of trials test my faith, I set my hope on Jesus. When the questions come and doubts remain, I set my hope on Jesus. For the deepest wounds that time won't heal, there's a joy that runs still deeper. There's a truth that's more than all I feel. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus. My rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. Though I falter in this war with sin, I set my hope on Jesus. When I fail to fight and sink within, I set my hope on Jesus. Though the shame would drown me in its sea, and I dread the waves of justice, I will cast my life on Calvary. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus. My rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. The world called me to leave my Lord. I set my hope on Jesus. Though it offer all its vain rewards, I set my hope on Jesus. Though this heart of mine is prone to stray, give me grace enough to finish till I worship on that final day. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus. My rock, my only trust, who set his heart upon me first. I set my hope on Jesus. I set my hope on Jesus. My rock.
Tonight we're having our business meeting and our potluck at 6 on January 29th, Awana and Youth Meeting, 6 to 7, meal at 5. February 13th is Teenager Senior Adult Valentine Lunch and Entertainment, 11 a.m. at Western Grove Baptist Church.
Hey girls, I need you to mark March 14th and 15th on your calendar. We're planning a ladies' retreat. We will do it again at Rockhaven, and we are having a speaker come in. Her name is Dee Cone, and she will be speaking on the life of Rahab, her past, and then the present and the future of Rahab, what all happened with her. So just kind of get that in the back of your mind, start thinking about it, and we would love to have you come and join us. It'll be a good time.
Will you all pray with me? God, I pray, thank you for what you bless us with. God, I pray for those that are sick right now and dealing with it. God, I pray just help them get over it. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring. God, I pray you just speak to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let's stand and greet one another this morning. Greet one another. Young. flows out as your word throws out far away. I sing to you and my heart cries holy, hallelujah, Father, you're dear. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you, Lord. I wait for you, and my soul finds rest. In my selfishness, you show me grace. I worship you, and my heart cries glory. Hallelujah, Father, you're here. My hope is in you, Lord, all the day long. I won't be shaken by drought or storm. A peace that passes understanding is my song, and I sing, my hope is in you,
trust the sweetest praise.
Opportunity to welcome you if you're visiting Osage. There's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you we'd love for you to fill out so that we can get to know you better, and a place to check there if you want to visit. So we appreciate you doing that for us and look forward to getting to know you better. We hope you make yourself at home in our midst. One of our men will come down and lead us in prayer.
Pray with me. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for loving us and blessing us. You are Lord of all, the giver of all good gifts. Lord, as we now give back a little portion of that back to you in our worship and our tithes, Lord, I just pray that you will use this offering this morning to bring others to you before it's eternally too late. Lord, thank you again for all the blessings of life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was at the ball game the other night, and they had Brandy getting up doing announcements and talking about things, and she had a microphone. Yeah, microphone, that's what it was. And it kept shutting off on her, and I thought, well, at least I'm not the only one that struggles with it, but maybe it runs in the family, I don't know. So she would get up there and talk, and it would die. I think maybe her batteries was low, and it made me appreciate the group back there in the corner. So I don't much have battery troubles. It's more technical trouble on my side. So, you know, I was going around this morning. I bumped into Eugene, and he asked me a really valid question, I thought. He said, you know why the children call us grown-ups? Because every time we get up, we groan, right? And I said, I really appreciate you giving me my joke. I'd forgot it this morning, so I didn't have a good one yet, and I liked that one. So I've stole your joke now, Eugene. You can't tell it. I guess you can tell it to everybody else. I tell the same one over and over, so. If you can get mileage out of it once, you can get it out of it again. So, I don't think I have an announcement. I usually have something important to say before I get started. I don't think I have anything else going on. All right. Well, you know, we wake up this morning. Maybe we wake up. We eat breakfast. We go to work, we watch TV when we get home, maybe. We go to bed so we can get up and do it again, right? And you're thinking, you said that last week. And I did. Because we get into routine, right? And that's our routine that we so often get. And we get into that routine, and we're going to talk about that again as we go on. So we just repeat the same thing over and over. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And I also used that last week because I think this is a very important scripture for believers, and I think about this a lot. Am I having life to the full? Are we enjoying the life that we have, the freedom that we have in Christ? You know, he didn't give us free just to be free. He gave us free so that we could serve him and have life to the full. There's a purpose for our liberty. There's a purpose for our freedom. And he reminds us here in John 10:10 that the thief comes, Satan comes to kill and destroy, but Christ came so that we can have life to the full. And last week, like I said, we talked about getting stuck in our routine. And that makes us stop sometimes and ask, is this really all there is to life? What is my purpose in life if it's just going to be the same thing over and over, and I'm just going to do the monotonous things from day to day? Do I have a purpose? It should lead us to ask, what's God's calling on my life? What's he calling me to do? And then the last point we made last week was, am I ignoring the importance are of the interruptions that God is sending to me in my life? Because we all have those interruptions that interrupt our routine, right? And there's a purpose for those interruptions. What is it? Is it so we can learn something? Is it we can grow? Or is he trying to change our direction? Are we trying to do something different? Or he's trying to do something different in our life? Are we just completely ignoring those? Today we're going to ask a different question. We're going to ask not, is this all there is to life, but is this all there is to see? You know, Mark 8, we're going to get to Mark 8 in a moment, but it starts out with the second time that Jesus fed a large crowd of people, and in the first bit of it, and saving from reading it, you know, Jesus had fed the large crowd. He had fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, and then there was 12 baskets of food that was left over. And then there's another time that he's feeding, and that was in Mark chapter 8, where he feeds 4,000 people with seven loaves and a few fish, three to four. And then there was seven basketfuls of food left over. So we're coming off of that. He's fed them. They've gathered up seven basketfuls of food, and they get in the boat. So that brings us to verse 10. If everybody stand with me as we read verse 10. It says, he got into the boat with his disciples, and he went to the region of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came and began to question Jesus to test him. And they asked him for a sign from heaven. And he sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a sign? Truly, I tell you, no sign will be given to it. And then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. And the disciples had forgotten to bring bread, except for one loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And they discussed this with one another and said, it is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, and how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. And he said to them, do you still not understand? You'll join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this today. We thank you for us being able to be here and worship you this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd be with those that are either traveling for whatever reason or ill, and not able to be here. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them and see them back to health and back to the home, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to your word this morning, that you would speak to each one here in the way that you have intended to. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. You know, it's easy to walk blindly to the spiritual things that we have in our lives. It's easy to walk around and not see the spiritual things that are going on. But God wants us to see clearly those things that are going around. He wants that are around us, right? You know, He created us to be spiritual beings, not fleshly beings. He created us with flesh, He created us in flesh, and then it was corrupted, right, through Genesis chapter 3, through sin. But He initially made us spiritual beings, and I believe that we have our three parts, right? We have the body and the soul and the mind, and our soul is eternal. And he wants us to see clearly in the things in the spiritual realm, because then we can clearly see the things in the material realm. And he says this here, you know, that some have eyes and some, but still don't see, right? Some have ears and they still don't hear. And I wonder how often we walk around blind to the things that are actually going on. And I also think that for us to see our purpose, we have to see clearly. Right? For us to see what God has set for us to do, we have to see clearly. And for us to live our purpose, we have to live fully. But we can't live life to the full if we don't see clearly. And the Pharisees, we see, they would come and they would ask Jesus questions, and they would ask him for a sign from heaven. And, you know, in other places he said it's a wicked generation that asks for a sign. But they ask for a sign. They say, show us, prove that you are who you are. Think about all the things that Jesus had done for a moment. People that was crippled from from birth walked, people that were blind could see, people that were sick were healed, people that was dead were raised. What kind of sign do you need? What kind of sign are we looking for? What kind of sign were they looking for? More importantly, though, what kind of sign are we looking for? I'm not going to have you show hands, but how many times in your life do you say, well, Lord, I just need a sign? You know, and I've seen those skits, you know. It's like, Lord, I just need a sign. And then the sign says, you know, stop, turn around. And they're like, yeah, Lord, you know, push that away. Lord, I really just need you to, let me just give you this, I guess it's kind of a joke, and it's one of my favorite ones. Whenever the flood was coming to the house, and the old boy gets in his living room and he's praying, Lord, I just really need you to save me from this. And here comes a guy in a big old truck and says, hey, I can still get through. The truck's jacked up. I can get through. And he said, no. I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And as the water is approaching into the living room, here comes the rescue squad in the boat. And he says, no. I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And then later he's up on the rooftop because the water keeps getting up and up. And he gets on the rooftop and helicopter comes and he says, they say, you got to get on. You got to get on the helicopter. And he says, no. I'm waiting on the Lord to save me. And the water comes up and he drowns. And then he says to the Lord, he said, I kept waiting for you to save me. And he said, I sent you a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What more did you need, right? How often is that us in our spiritual lives where we say, Lord, I'm looking for a sign, and we ignore everything that he sends our way? They had all these things going on in front of them, and they're asking, well, we really need a sign. In Matthew chapter 11, John the Baptist is in prison, and he sends his disciples over to Jesus to say, are you the one, or should we be waiting for someone else? And Jesus says to him, go back and tell John what you've heard, and tell John what you see. He didn't give him a sign, and he didn't really give him an answer. He just said, go tell John what you're witnessing. Are we living the life to say, those that watch us could say, hey, I know where to find Christ. I know where's the one because of what I hear and what I see. But more importantly to this morning's message, are we recognizing those things that we hear and we see? Are we waiting for that more that thing to hit us in the head to say, this is your sign? I almost went Jeff Foxworthy there for a minute, didn't I? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4:4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Now, I want you, that can be confusing if you're not reading this scripture. And I want you to pay attention. I don't think I highlighted it on my slide, but I want you to pay attention to the second word, God, and the last word, God. And do you see a difference in between those gods? The first one's lowercase, and the last one's uppercase, and I told them I didn't use my English class very well, but it's not a literary thing, right? The first is a lowercase God because it's not God, right? Because capital God is Jehovah God that we just refer to as God, right? Lowercase g is a not God God, right? The God of this world is Satan. And so when you read this, and it says the God of this world, right, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So he's saying here in the scripture that the God of this age, Satan, doesn't want us to see things clearly. He's blinded our minds to spiritual things. So many today are even blinded to the fact that Satan exists. You know, we just want to kind of skip over that sometimes. And some people that I know, that I've had conversations with, that's went to church all their lives, they don't believe that there's an actual hell, and they don't believe that there's an actual Satan. Or Lucifer, more specifically, since Satan just means adversary. It can apply to different terms. But they don't believe, they just want to believe in heaven, and they want to believe in salvation, but what are we being saved from? And we don't clearly see the spiritual world if we don't clearly see that there are attacks and there's deceptions from the evil one. But God wants us to see clearly. He doesn't want us to keep going through life with dirty glasses. You know, you ever look through a dirty window? You ever try to see something? Well, you don't even have a dirty window. I mean, look outside here. Y'all see out here? Because that's not a very clear glass, is it? We can't look out these windows because they're blurry. And sometimes we walk through life living that way. The disciples were in the boat here and they had the one loaf. And they heard Jesus talk about the yeast of the Pharisees and they started looking at what they had. They weren't looking at the other level of what he was trying to tell them. They looked at right now and they said, uh-oh, we only grabbed one loaf. What in the world? Now we're getting in trouble because I've only got the one loaf and we didn't think to get any more food and we've just got the one loaf. What are we going to do? You know, Jesus wasn't saying, why'd you not bring more food? You know, there were 7 baskets of leftovers just moments before. They could have brought more food, but they only brought the one loaf. He said to him, why are you talking about the food? You know, having no food, has your hearts been hardened? You know, do you not see with the eyes that you need to see with? And here's the irony of the fact that here they are with one loaf of bread. They had just witnessed that Jesus, as we had already talked about, he had fed up to 9,000 people here with the loaves and the fishes. If you just stay with that ratio, they had enough food in there that he could have fed 750 people with that loaf of bread. And they were in a boat, which he has no problem with basically just getting the fish to jump into, right? I mean, we've seen, you know, they've got plenty of access to food knowing that they're with Christ. But did anybody else catch how that they're asking about the food? Did anybody else think, well, they got one loaf and he just fed all those people with the loaf? You know, as you read that, and it's real easy to look at them and say, you guys, you're just not thinking. You just witnessed this miracle with one loaf, right? What are you thinking about? And it's real easy for me when I read my Bible to criticize the people and how they just can't see past right now. And every time I do that, I feel like the Lord slaps me upside the head and says, how are you doing that with the things in your life, right? You know, I may be that guy with the loaf thinking, man, we don't have enough bread, knowing that Jesus has got the ability to make more. I mean, like I said, out of this ratio, 750 people. How many times do we not think that, you know, if the Lord did it for someone else, he could do it for me? How many times do we look at somebody who's given a really strong testimony, and then we think about the sins and the things that we struggle with in our life, and we don't know how we're going to overcome them? But maybe you know somebody who, you know, been to prison for murder. Well, let's just take Saul, for example, before he become Paul. You know, he was out killing Christians for being Christians. And then the Lord forgave him. Now, there's probably not anybody in here that has committed the sins that Saul was committing directly against the church and against Christ. And then he was forgiven. And we think, well, God can do it for that person, but why? But he can't do it for me. Why do we think that way? Why do we think that his grace is only... Well, here's why we think that way. The God of this age has clouded our vision to the spiritual truth that Christ wants us to see. So if God's capable of doing it in someone else's life, he is capable of doing it in mine. When we see the miracles and the things that happen in other people's lives and the things that he works, we should be expectant that if God brings me to it, he's going to see me through it, right? If I don't have the strength, he's going to give me the ability, or he's going to send somebody to help me to get through it. How many bugs do you allow to get on your windshield before you pull over and clean it? I was looking. I don't see anybody getting elbowed here. I would be getting elbowed. Maybe it's a little bit different if I was sitting down here. What gets Brandy is when I'm driving and it starts to sprinkle. I'm not a big believer in the windshield wiper just right off. And I let it really accumulate. And she's over there. She can't see where we're going. And I can see, and it must be worse on the passenger side. And then I'll finally use it, you know. But what I can't stand is when I use the windshield wiper and there's streaks. I can't stand the streaks. I can have the speckles all over, but the streaks drive me crazy when I'm driving. But how many bugs do we get accumulated on our windshield before we stop and wash it? How much dust do we let get on it before we, you know, and we may fill up with gas two or three times, right? And the bugs aren't too thick yet. And then the sun comes up and you can't really see past your windshield. You all know what I'm talking about, right? And we get distracted by the things that are right here on the windshield. We can't see past the things that are close to us. And are those the important things to see? No, it's much more important to see the things out in front of the vehicle when we're running 55 because we're not going to speed. Down the road, right? The dangerous things are out there. The dangerous things are farther, but we get our vision clouded and we can't see past the bugs that are close to us. And we're not seeing clearly for the things that can cause us more concern. Our spiritual lives aren't any different. We let the bugs accumulate sometimes, right? We let those little sins get in our way, and we're not looking past those little things that are so easy to be wiped away. Christ can just wipe those off if we just get down and we'll pray, but no, we don't want to do that. We might fill up, right? We might come to church multiple times, and we're not going to really repent of those things. We're not really going to deal with any of those things. We're going to let them keep accumulating for whatever reason. And we don't see clearly. And we don't say, Lord, I just need you to forgive me of these things. And we got the more dangerous things down the road that we're not seeing coming. And because we're focused on the little things, well, that's Satan saying these little things are, you just can't deal with them. These little things are too much. You can't get them clean. And we believe it sometimes. We get distracted by the unimportant earthly stuff, and then we miss out on our actual purpose that we're here for. We miss out on being able to be an ambassador for Christ, being able to witness to people wherever we're at. Maybe we're missing out on the calling that he's given us that's going to bring us true happiness, true joy, life to the full. Because if we can't see it, we can't go to it. And if we don't go to it, we're not going to serve our purpose. And if we're not serving our purpose, we're not going to be living life to the full. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 through 25 says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and he led him outside the village. And when he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' He looked up and said, 'I see people. They look like trees walking around.' And once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly." How many of y'all bothered with the fact that Jesus spit on this guy? That bother anybody when you read that? It's like, hey, that's kind of gross. Am I the only one? I got one hand here. So there's somebody else that's thinking along that lines. You know, sometimes we got to be uncomfortable to get something that Christ wants to bless us with. Sometimes we have to get a little spit on us so that we can see clearly. Amen? So Jesus spit on this guy's eyes. Why did he not heal him completely at first? Anybody else wonder that one? You know, I don't know that I have the right answer, but why did he not heal him completely? I think about it as if I was crippled and I went to the doctor and I was able to walk because they put braces on my legs, I would be excited. Right? If I couldn't hear a thing and I got hearing aids and I could hear a little bit, I would be excited. That would be a big deal. I remember when I first got my glasses, I drove everybody crazy that was around me all day because I couldn't see very well when I got my glasses. And when I got my glasses, I could go to Walmart and I could read all the signs on the back of the store that I didn't even know were there. I read every road sign on the way home. I mean, I was reading everything all the way out there. I know I drove everybody crazy that was around me because I just kept on reading everything because I was so excited that I could see things that I hadn't seen. You know, I think he had some excitement, but then, like I say, if you can't see anything and you're given any sight, it would be a big deal. So if you go from not being able to see anything to seeing that, that's a big deal. And then he touched him again, right? And he could see clearly. And you see the difference? It was not being able to see anything to seeing the blurry is a big deal, but now we can see clearly. Maybe we come to Christ and we see the spiritual things walking around like trees. We can see them in that blur. But whenever we say, "Lord, I know you're calling me to that. I'm going to live life to the full," we see clearly. We see fully. You know, are you satisfied this morning with anything less than clear vision? If all you could see was that black and then you could see that fuzzy, you'd be happy. But that's because you couldn't see the clear. And once you see the clear, we shouldn't want to go back to the fuzzy. Are we settling for anything less than clear vision? Are we seeing the things that Jesus has for us to see so that we can live life to the full this morning? You know, there may be somebody here this morning that you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, and you're seeing some things blurry. Right? You're seeing the need that, hey, Christ came, he died for my sins. I know that I have those things. I have those bugs on the windshield, if you will. I'm not seeing the things that I want to see in life. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be here in a moment. As some leader comes, I want you to come up. We'll pray about it. Christ came to clear that off so you can have life and have it to the full. He came to pay the price for your sins so that you could live life to the full. So if you're here this morning and you can't say, I'm living life to the full, what is it that's clouding our vision? Is it because we haven't responded to His call? Maybe He's told us exactly what He wants us to do in our lives, and we said, well, I don't speak well enough for that, or we come up with whatever excuse. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to come up, and we'll pray about that this morning as well. What are we singing?
320.
320. If everybody stand.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look.
Singing that, I thought, well, there's a reason. I don't want to coordinate, you know, necessarily, because I like to see what the Lord's going to do with it and what He lays on His heart, not knowing what the Lord's going to lay on my heart to do. And as he was singing that, turn your eyes upon Jesus, you know, could you imagine not being able to see, and the first thing when Jesus heals you, getting to see Christ for the first thing, the person you get to see clearly? You know, hopefully this morning as we leave, we're all seeing Christ clearly as we turn our eyes towards Him. Tonight we'll be here at 6 with business meeting and food. And come for that if you can. And I don't think I have anything else to go. So, Jordan, would you dismiss the word of prayer?